How many of us here remember the Got Milk commercials or the Got Milk ads that used to play back in the early 2000s, maybe the late 1990s? You know, those came out and they really didn't start getting popular until athletes decided to take part in the Got Milk campaign. I can specifically remember Mia Hamm would sit there with a glass of milk and she had this big, huge milk mustache, and under it would be like, Got Milk. You know, you should drink milk because Mia Hamm drinks milk. Or Michael Jordan was a part of that campaign. He had a big glass of milk and then a big milk mustache, and essentially the same thing was said. And Peyton Manning took part in the same Got Milk campaign. And when we really think about it, really don't think about milk a lot. We really think more about Pepsi or Coke or root beer. But I ran across a story a while back about a company named the San Lu Factory. And this factory was the cause of 3 infant deaths in China. And then 156 infants got kidney stones. And then 6,000 more infants were diagnosed with some sort of sickness back in 2008 simply because of bad milk. And even in June and October of 2008, in Massachusetts, 2 elderly men died because of bad milk. So you see that there's good milk that can help, that can be used for, you know, campaign ads to encourage people to live a healthier lifestyle. And then there's bad milk that can kill people. And that's the same thing with spiritual milk. You can have good spiritual milk that can nourish your spirit, and you can also have bad milk that can kill you. And in 1 Peter, that's exactly what he tells these people. He tells them to put aside all of these bad traits, these sins, and to long for the pure milk of the Word. Now, in context, what Peter is talking about is there's these group of Christians that are there that are dispersed throughout Asia, and they're suffering, and he's calling them to be holy, calling them to be a community. And if you flip your Bibles open to 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to see exactly what he's talking about there. He's calling them to be a community because they are suffering. And part of being that Christian community is to make sure they're taking the right milk, to make sure that their spirit is being nourished the proper way. And in chapter 2, he reminds them of what they have. And he starts really the context back in verses 23 and 24. And so one thing we have to ask is, how do I know that I have the right milk? How do I know that I've, quote, got milk, as the ad would go? Well, in order to know if I've got the right milk, I have to understand the nature of God's Word. In verse 23, it says, you have been born again, not of a seed which is perishable. In chapter 1, verse 23 is where we're at. Not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring Word of God. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. You can't understand God's word unless you understand that it is living and it endures forever. And what does that mean? Living means that it's present, it's active. It means that it was around, it is around, and it always will be around. You know, there are a lot of beautiful and useful things in this present lifetime. I mean, I love my MacBook. I mean, a lot of you love your iPad. A lot of you love your iPod. You know, I'm sure there are a lot of millionaires that like their Bugatti that goes 200 miles an hour. You know, there's some of you in here that love your Ford F-150. But it's not going to last. Eventually, that item that you have will break down. Eventually, that item that you have will be used as scrap metal sometime in the future. Now, whether that's at 300,000 miles, or whether that's a cracked screen, whether that's, you know, water wear getting inside of your iPod, eventually that thing will no longer be available to you. One thing I know is that God's word has always been available to man. And when you take a look at the course of history, that's as clear as day, really. You think about all the empires that have lived between throughout the course of man's history. You take a look at the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Romans. Even Hitler himself said that the Nazi Empire was going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Yet that empire is a mere footnote in history. But God's word is still here. So you can't understand whether or not you have pure milk unless you understand, first of all, the nature of God's word. And that's exactly what Peter is telling him here. And then secondly, he says, you know, therefore put aside all malice and deceit. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, put aside all malice and deceit and all hypocrisy, envy, and slander. And so he's basically calling them to say, hey, has it impacted your life? Because you're not taking the right milk if God's word isn't impacting your life. Because back in chapter 1, verse 14 through 16, he says, but as obedient children, do not conform to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who calls you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is what? Written in God's word. Be holy, for I am holy. And so he recalls them, that here in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, you've got to put aside your ill will, your malice. You have to put aside your deceit, your ability, your cunning ability to deceive people. You have to put aside your hypocrisy. You can't straddle the fence. You can't say you're one thing and then live a totally different life. Right. He says, you have to put aside your envy. You can't hate somebody and hope somebody suffers because they have what they have. And you can't use your words to kill people. He says you can't do that. And this morning, if you read God's word, if you study God's word and it doesn't affect you, it doesn't impact you, it doesn't have any value on how you act from Monday to Saturday, not just Sunday, if that doesn't impact you at all, if that doesn't shape who you are, malnourished. Wrong milk. And there are a lot of people that do that. There are a lot of people that say, Christian, Christian, Lord, Lord. And you can find them at the bar Saturday night. Are they taking the right milk? They might be looking at the glass. I mean, they might be observing the glass. But they're not drinking out of the glass. Or they're having something that's not exactly the right kind of milk. That milk is contaminated. And not only is it contaminated, it contaminates themselves. Do we consider that? When we sit down and we read God's word, when we hear it preached or we're in a class, do we consider that it is enduring? Do we consider that it is the thought and mind of God? Do we consider the fact that the very book that you can buy for $5 at Walmart is supposed to impact man so that man can grow closer to God? That when we sit down and we read and we study and we hear the words that come from this very book, it is so that we can be set apart, not so that we can blend in. And that's what Peter's talking about right here. He says, because you have this Savior, because you have been bought with the price, that precious blood of Christ, as he talks about in 1 Peter 1, 15 through 20, He says, because you have that, that is supposed to be a part of you. And because you have that together, you're supposed to put aside these community sins that we see in chapter 2, verse 1. And then in verse 2, he says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that in it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the word of the Lord. And so, to drive home his point, he uses this illustration of an infant that longs for pure milk. It longs, and that word long means to cry out, to crave, to desire with an intensity. Do we cry out for God's word? Do we long for God's word? Do we have that intense desire to have it, to study it, to hear it preached? Because if we don't, then we're not longing for the very thing that can save my soul and that can save your soul. What would it be like if a person were in the desert and they were hungry and they were thirsty, and someone came to them and they had a choice between a gallon of water and a Hostess cupcake, and said, which one do you want? And the person picks the Hostess cupcake. Yes, that is going to feel great for about 10 seconds. But an hour down the road, you're going to be like, I should have had the gallon of water. And what is the Christian who chooses something else other than the pure milk of the Word? What is the Christian who chooses to spend all of their time reading Sports Illustrated, 17 Magazine, Us Weekly, and when it comes down time during that day where they say Us Weekly or God's Word, they say Us Weekly. Let's see what the Royals are doing. How is that any different than the person that takes that momentary, joy in having a Hostess cupcake in the middle of the desert without taking the water? It's the same. Because without the pure milk of the Word, I cannot grow. Have you seen any growth in your life? In the last year? 2 years? 3 years? 4 years, 10 years even. Because the pure milk of the Word is used so that the infant will grow. He says, putting aside malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander, so that they can grow, so that they can be set apart as God is set apart. And this morning, if you don't have milk, you know that because you haven't grown. And if you haven't grown, that means that you don't have the longing, the desire for the pure milk. You don't cry out for it. And that hurts to say, because that just doesn't apply to people who aren't Christians. That applies to Christians as well. Because there are those that get to a point in their life where they say, I've done my time. I've studied, my passages. I've taught class. Maybe I've even preached a little bit. And so I know it all. You can't know all of the mind of God. And so what they do is they hang it up, as they say in sports. They no longer search the Scripture so they can grow into that day of salvation. And that's what Peter is talking about there. He had just reminded them that they were born to a living hope in 1 Peter 1 and 5 and 1 and 9. And he says, you need this word so that you can grow and mature into the day the Lord returns. Because Christianity is not a static position. God's word was not meant for us to read so that we could stay static. It was meant so that we could become more like his son. And that's why it's here. So later in chapter 2, it says in verse 7, this precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And he's talking about the living stone of Christ. And notice what it says right after that. For they stumbled because they are disobedient to what? The message, the word. That's what he's talking about. Those people that rejected Christ, those people that didn't accept Christ, is because they couldn't accept the word. They couldn't accept the words that were spoken about Christ. And if you can't accept Christ, it's because wrong milk. You don't have the right milk. You've got something contaminated. They had something contaminated. And if we're not growing so that we can be more like Christ, so we can be more like that living stone, what is it that's contaminating you? What is it that's causing you to choose that something else other than having that time with you and God and His Word? And there are a lot of people that say, well, I really want to become a Christian, or I really want to grow more in my Christian walk, but this other stuff, this other magazine, this other book, it's just more interesting. Think about that for a second. I don't care what kind of novel it is. I don't care what kind of magazine it is. What's more interesting than knowing the mind of God? There are people that will stack up Us Weekly against the Bible and take Us Weekly just because it's more interesting in their mind. I don't ever remember Us Weekly saving anybody. I don't remember Sports Illustrated ever saving anyone. But I know that the words of Christ save people. I know when Christ said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, that was a message of hope. That was a message of salvation. And I know in Acts 2:38, when those people looked upon Peter, they said, Brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Where is that contained? That is not contained in Us Weekly. That's not contained in Sports Illustrated. That's contained in God's Word. Are you growing this morning? Do you understand the nature of God's Word? Do you understand that that Word is supposed to impact your life on a day-to-day basis? It's supposed to change how you walk. It's supposed to change how you talk. It's supposed to change how you interact with people, with friends, with family, with everyone that you work with everyone that you sit with next to in school. It is supposed to set you apart from the rest of the world. And if you haven't grown at all, or you're stagnant, how can you say that you're crying out for the pure milk of the Word? So how do we solve this problem? How do we grow? How do we, you know, get to that point where we long after the pure milk of the Word? You know, this is going to sound very basic, and this is going to sound very simple, but it's so powerful. You know, milk can't nourish my body unless I take it. I mean, that's just simple. You know, if I want, you know, milk does the body good, as the old slogan went. The only way the milk did my body good is if I drank it. And the only way the pure milk of the Word can sustain you spiritually is if you spend time with it. What about taking an hour or 30 minutes before the start of your day? Find a quiet spot, just you and God and His Word. Yeah, it'll probably cause you to have to wake up earlier. But isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth knowing not only the message of salvation, but so many things that are in here that have been revealed from God to man so that man could relay the message of God to his fellow person, so that we can become holy, set apart. And this morning, if you don't have that, if that's not where you're at, something's contaminated your milk. Something's contaminated your longing and your desire to understand the Lord. But you know, one thing that is contained in God's Word is the promise to come back. As the story of the prodigal son goes, you know, he basically does whatever he wants. He takes his inheritance, he leaves. He finds out that through experience, he's not in the best position that he should be, that he hasn't done right. And he comes back home, he sees that his father is standing there waiting for him. And that's exactly where God is this morning. You know, a person that is neither thirsty nor hungry is either sick or dead. And this morning, if you're neither thirsty for God's Word nor hungry for God's Word, you are either sick or dead spiritually. But God is waiting. And if you would like to take that time this morning to rededicate yourself to the Lord, to rededicate yourself to spending that time taking in the pure milk of the Word, what better place than here? What better time than now as we stand and as we sing?